Welcome to the IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast for couples who struggle with infertility and want to fulfill their dreams of becoming parents. In this podcast, you'll learn actionable strategies to deal with infertility from Dr. Michael Chapman, or Prof as he's affectionately known. Prof is the co-founder of IVF Australia and is a leading Australian infertility specialist who has helped over 3,000 couples realise their dreams of becoming parents. To access previous episodes packed with ideas, solutions and tips that actually work, head over to Dr. Chapman's IVF podcast on iTunes. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him, michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.
That first cry of a baby born after the long journey of IVF remains one of the most beautiful experiences in the world. As an obstetrician and an IVF specialist, I've had the privilege of experiencing this over many thousands of times in my long career, but I still remain moved by each baby's first cry. It signifies the end of a long journey and the beginning of a new life. This is Professor Michael Chapman, co-founder of IVF Australia and host of the IVF Journey podcast. Thanks for tuning in. To access all the previous episodes, head over to my website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu. You'll also be able to find the various services that we provide at IVF Australia. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the drugs that are used in an IVF cycle. Anybody going through an IVF cycle will require the stimulation of follicles and therefore eggs using an FSH type product. We'll talk about those at another time, but today we'll concentrate on the other drugs that are used in the cycle. So once stimulation of the ovary has begun and those follicles begin to grow, the one thing that we don't want to happen is for you to ovulate before we get to them, before we harvest them. On the other hand, we don't want to collect them too early to avoid ovulation, because if we collect them too early, they'll be immature. So about 15 to 20 years ago, a drug was introduced which switched off the pituitary gland, thereby stopping the pituitary gland from releasing the hormones that stimulate ovulation. That gave us then the power to choose the timing of the final maturation process and the timing of the egg collection. Before the mid-90s, we used to go in early. We'd collect eggs at 15 or 16 millimetres in diameter, and we got lots of immature eggs. We also were forced into the situation at times of having to do egg collections at 10 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the morning, when it looked as though ovulation was about to take place. So these new drugs, called GnRH analogues, changed the face of IVF, made everything more controllable. These drugs are similar in their makeup, their biochemical makeup, their chemical composition, very similar to a hormone that is released from the center of the brain, the hypothalamus, released every 90 minutes down the blood vessels that lead to the pituitary gland. And they basically stimulate the pituitary gland to produce the main hormones, LH and FSH. That pulsatile release of natural GnRH is what makes women have menstrual cycles. Clever biochemists in the 80s worked out the structure of that short molecule. It's only got 11 bases to it. And by swapping one of those, instead of being a drug that's degraded in less than half an hour, by changing one of those bases, the drug does not break down. The body can't break it down. And so it builds up. And by doing that, it actually switches off the pituitary gland. That switching off the pituitary gland means you won't ovulate. And we, in an IVF cycle, can choose the timing of final maturation and potentially ovulation to suit your eggs and doing the egg collections in a civilized time, as well as avoiding the risk of premature release of the eggs. The first drug that was developed was called a GnRH agonist. What's that mean? Well, what it means is it's a drug that in its first 24 hours of use actually stimulates the pituitary, which is not good in a cycle where we're going to collect the eggs, but by using it in the cycle before, once the 48 hours has elapsed, that drug switches off the pituitary then for as long as you take the drug. In Australia, the two forms of drug that are available are a nasal spray called Cineryl or an injection called Lucrin, and they are used either once or twice a day to gain control of the pituitary gland. Research studies showed that the best way of administering this drug in terms of a good outcome from IVF is to start in the third week of the menstrual cycle before the one that we're going to collect the eggs in. It's also called a long down regulation cycle. So when doctors talk about a long cycle, that's what they're talking about. It's the use of a GnRH agonist to suppress pituitary function. Used over a longer period of time, it can have side effects. Because it switches off estrogen production, you can get hot flushes. The other drug that came on the market now 15 years ago was another variation on that original natural GnRH molecule, where a different base was switched in a commercial production line. And with that particular change, the GnRH analog didn't stimulate the pituitary initially. It went straight into blocking the receptors and switching the pituitary off. And that's called an antagonist, a GnRH antagonist. The drugs available in Australia in this group are Orgalutran and Cetratide. The big advantage of these drugs, because of the way they act, is we don't need to start them before the cycle of treatment. We actually only introduce them 5 or 6 days into the cycle to gain control of the pituitary so that you don't release the eggs early. The studies done with this type of hormone indicated that the chances of ovarian hyperstimulation were reduced. So it was a significant step forward for women with polycystic ovarian syndrome who, undergoing IVF, have a much higher chance of overstimulation. In Australia, 15 years ago, 99% of cycles were with the GnRH agonist long protocol. Today, over 85% of cycles are with the short antagonist cycle. Overall, the results are probably very similar, but the risk of OHSS hyperstimulation are reduced using the antagonist protocol. So they're the two drugs that we use in addition to the FSH stimulation, the Gonal F, the Puragon, the Menopur, the Benfola. The next drug we're going to talk about is the one used to finally mature the eggs just prior to ovulation. So the process in nature, in a natural cycle, is that the interaction between the ovaries and the pituitary gland in terms of estrogen being secreted from the ovary and the pituitary responding with the release of the various hormones, the LH and the FSH, that interplay leads eventually to the pituitary gland deciding that the ovary or the follicle in the ovary is ready to be released. Estrogen levels have got sufficiently high And the pituitary says, right, it's time to release a bolus, a great lump of LH from the pituitary. It travels in the bloodstream down to the ovary. It switches on receptors, and those receptors stimulate the last stages of egg maturation, which is actually converting the egg from having 46 chromosomes to only having 23 chromosomes. It kicks out 23 chromosomes outside the egg, so that the 23-chromosomed egg, the final mature egg, is ready for the 23 chromosomes that are in the sperm going back to the original 46 chromosomes. So that's in nature. We mimic that in IVF. I've said earlier we've controlled ovulation and switched off the pituitary, so the pituitary can't produce that surge, that bolus of LH. So we have to do that for you. And there are two main drugs that have been used over many years. The first is Pregnyl. Now, Pregnyl isn't LH. It's actually pregnancy hormone, beta-HCG. But the activity of beta-HCG is the same as LH. So your body thinks that it's getting LH, but it's actually being delivered through a cousin biochemically of LH, the HCG. And the reason you do that and not use LH is because it's very easy to find large quantities of HCG from pregnant women and distilling that down and creating the compound. So Pregnyl was basically the only drug we used for the first 15 to 20 years of IVF. Subsequently, another product, this one synthetically produced, which is also still like beta-HCG, and this product is called Ovadril. And again, we use it in the same way as we do with Pregnyl. So what they're doing when we give you that injection is to trigger the final maturation of the egg. We then decide what the best time is for you to have that trigger. And we base this on what we know happens in nature. I mentioned the release of that bolus of LH from the pituitary gland before. What we know is from the time that that gets into the bloodstream to the time of ovulation is a fairly exact process, something between 40 and 44 hours after the initial release of the hormone, ovulation will occur. And in the last 3 or 4 hours before that, the egg will have gone through its process of halving its chromosome makeup and reaching maturity ready for fertilization. So we don't want you to ovulate. So what we do is give you the injection and then collect the eggs 36 hours later. So in nature, and I think you're going to have to edit some of this, let me say that again. So in nature, what happens is from the time of the release of the LH bolus surge to ovulation is 40 to 44 hours. We don't want you to ovulate, however. We want to collect the eggs when they're as mature as possible, but we don't want to lose them by you ovulating. So we time the egg collection to be 36 to 38 hours after we give you the trigger injection, called the trigger injection. And that trigger injection is the two compounds I've mentioned, either Pregnyl or Ovadril. They have no side effects. They are mimicking what would happen in nature. Very rarely, they're not strong enough to produce the changes we'd like, but that is a very rare phenomenon. But can lead to the failure to find any eggs. In the last 5 years, a third option has been developed, and that is to stimulate the pituitary gland to produce its own LH surge. So in this particular scenario, we have a cycle with the normal FSH compound, gonal F, Puregon, etc., stimulating your ovaries. We then introduce the antagonist to stop the pituitary doing anything. But if we want to stimulate ovulation, or final maturation at least, without using the Ovadril or the HCG, we then can give a leukrin trigger, an agonist. So we've given an antagonist to suppress, and now we're giving an agonist to produce that flare that I talked about earlier. And that flare is a rise in the LH hormone. And there is a natural release, a natural production, which will trigger in the multiple follicles that we've got, trigger the final maturation and get you ready for egg collection. This particular approach is primarily for women at high risk of hyperstimulation syndrome. And what it has done is revolutionize the care of patients to avoid hyperstimulation syndrome. It almost never occurs. Previously, using the Pregnyl or the Ovadril, hyperstimulation occurred in 3 to 5% of cases, and in about 1% ended up in hospital with severe problems. With the agonist trigger protocol, it's almost impossible to get OHSS. It's made IVF much safer. So they're the two sets of drugs that I wanted to talk about today, the drugs that switch off the pituitary gland to stop you ovulating, and the two compounds that trigger ovulation, which we give to you at a specific time so we know when we're going to be doing the egg collections. And the last one is the latest advance, which is the use of an agonist trigger in an antagonist cycle to avoid hyperstimulation syndrome.
And don't forget that you can access all the previous episodes by going to our website, www.theivfjourney.com, and select IVF Journey Podcast from the navigation menu.
Thank you for listening to The IVF Journey with Dr. Michael Chapman, the podcast which helps couples negotiate their way through the IVF journey all the way to parenthood. You can also ask questions by contacting Dr. Chapman's rooms on 1-800-111-483 or by emailing him michael.chapman@ivf.com.au.